The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Today we're taking questions from listeners just like you. We got this great question in. It's basically this: is the church in need of another reformation? What a great question. And Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are ready to answer it. But before we get to that, I'd like to remind you that you can get your questions answered by sending us an email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
We're taking your questions on theology. This podcast is really about, you know, discussing theology. Sometimes we go through series, sometimes we go through themes. Often we're doing Q&A. I don't know what our next theme is going to be. We're working on a book on systematic theology called Doctrine for Disciples. Maybe eventually we'll do a series of podcasts going through that
book. That would be good. That's you and me and Ken Yates.
And Ken Yates.
And by the way, you mentioned theology a lot when we talk about the show, and it bears comment that theos means God and ology means study of. So theology is the study of God, but in a looser sense, theology becomes the study of anything pertaining to God. Therefore, theology is the Bible. Theology is the major aspects of systematic theology, like eschatology, the last days, or soteriology, how we're born again, or theology proper, God the Father, or Christology, God the Son, or pneumatology, God the Holy Spirit.
And we're going over all these things
in
our
book, Doctrine for Disciples.
In fact, right now I'm almost finished the first draft of the pneumatology, the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And we're trying to write it in a way that people like you, listeners, will actually read and understand.
Right. And theology is alive. A lot of people call theology the queen of the sciences.
Right.
Now, I have a bachelor's degree in biology. I was a pre-med in college, and I got a BS in biology from UC Irvine. Biology is a fine science, and I took chemistry and calculus and physics, and I took lots of science classes. But when I got to theology, I felt I had really arrived at a science that was the highest science.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people say that theology is the queen of the sciences. I think it's true. We're studying eternal realities. When we answer your questions, we're dealing with eternal truths, eternal verities, people call them.
Right. I know a lot of people are scared of theology, and it honestly just makes them worried, and it freaks them out to even think about these questions. I had a question the other day I just posted somewhere about free will and God, and what does free will have to do with being able to do moral actions? And my wife got some emails from people saying that I shouldn't be asking those questions. This is just basic 101 theology questions about free will and stuff. But some people, it really scares them to think about these ideas.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't scare you. I mean, these are, at least if you're trying to find a biblical answer, you know, I mean, your faith should be challenged. If your faith is not challenged, it's not going to grow. It's like when you're lifting weights. When you lift weights, don't you get little micro tears in your muscle?
Right.
But it's because of those micro tears that your muscle can grow. And it's the same thing. If discussing theology raises questions, guess what? You get to find answers to those questions. And now your knowledge of God, your knowledge of the Word has grown maybe a little bit.
Right. Now, I would add it's helpful to do this in a nurturing context. If you're dealing with these questions with us, well, then we're answering them from a biblical perspective, a conservative perspective. However, if you were to do this at your alma mater, McGill, or Harvard Divinity School, or Yale Divinity School, many of your professors would be atheists.
Right.
And you would not be getting the same kind of nurturing environment. And so when we're answering these questions for you, we're doing so in a way that I believe should build up your faith.
Right. You go to a school like that, you're going to get asked hard questions that you'll never hear from anyone else.
Right.
But then you're going to have to really search out the right answers to those hard questions.
And it worked in your life because you
came
through it.
For me, it forced me to look for real answers to the very hardest questions. Not softball questions, really difficult questions about God and Jesus and the Bible. And I had to find answers to those things. In the last episode, we were talking about Hebrews chapter 6, and there is an expectation that Christians will mature in their faith.
Yeah, you know? But you can have the experience like Bart Ehrman, who teaches at University of North Carolina. And where did he go? Did he go to Harvard or
Chapel? Did he go to Chapel Hill? Or
he went to one of the Ivy League schools for his doctorate, and he ended up and lost his faith.
Yeah.
And now he's an agnostic.
Yeah.
That can happen. But it happens when people do not go back to the truth, but end up adopting some error, and along the way they lose their faith. And sadly, that can happen when people get advanced theological degrees.
I think that can happen in churches, too. People in well-meaning churches, that people can get asked hard questions, like they go off to college, they get asked hard questions, and it turns out their church intellectual life is a little shallow. It's, you know, it's a good, you know, otherwise a good church, but kind of shallow, and they can't answer basic questions like the problem of evil. And they hear this and they think, oh no, Christianity's going to crumble because my pastor has no idea how to answer this. Where did we get the Bible? Pastor doesn't know. He's never studied it. Certainly none of the deacons or elders know, and no one in the churches even have thought of it. And then the person mistakenly thinks that means nobody has an answer.
Right.
Well, guess what? Just because your church doesn't have an answer, you need to go search it out. And you need to keep searching for those answers.
And we have a book, what is it, The Big Book of Bible Difficulties by Geisler, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's up there,
I think.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
And there are various books you can get that will explain problem passages, passages. I mean, we have several by Zane Hodges and me and others.
Yeah, Christian apologetics is a huge industry. But anyways,
do you have a question?
You know, is there a question for us to answer
today? I'm sorry.
I guess there must be. Well, here's one. This is a pretty open-ended question. This is from Mick. And Mick says, Lordship Salvation proponents have essentially returned back to Rome, effectively stunting or stopping or even ending the Protestant Reformation. I've heard dozens of people talk about suffering under the tyranny and terror of Lordship Salvation, asking questions like, was I really saved? How many times must I rededicate my life? How do I rededicate my life? Am I going to go to hell for my sins? I've known believers who felt so guilty that they actually became Roman Catholics just to get this off my back, quote unquote. My question to you both is this. Is it not time for a second reformation? Well, that's a broad question, big question, but also a basic one. Do we need a reformation in the churches?
Well, it seems to me every generation, in a sense, needs a reformation because false doctrine creeps in, and unless we're constantly coming back to the scriptures, we run the risk that we're moving away from the scriptures. Mm. And the Protestant Reformation with Luther and Calvin and all the others wasn't exactly what some Protestants and evangelicals present. It wasn't an absolutely clean break from Rome.
No.
I mean, Luther and Calvin still practiced infant baptism.
Sure.
And I believe their followers still practice. Do Lutherans baptize babies?
Oh, yeah. And they think baptism regenerates you.
Really?
They believe in infant baptismal regeneration.
And many Calvinists baptize babies too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Most of them do. Almost all of them, except for, you know.
And so that's not a total reformation. I mean, kind of still clinging to some of the major tenets of Catholicism.
Sure, and they just maybe this is maybe a little shocking, but it really shouldn't be. But a lot of, let's say, Baptists or a lot of evangelicals don't consider themselves even Protestant. Protestant is, if you belong to the Presbyterian Church, the Anglican Church, the Lutheran Church, and the Reformed Church, if you belong to one of those churches, then you're literally a Protestant. You're one of the churches denominations that came out of the Reformation.
But if you're a Baptist, technically, you're not?
I'm not. Technically, I'm not a Protestant. I don't consider myself a Protestant. I don't think those guys got anything right, really. I think they kind of got justification by faith alone a little bit right. But otherwise, I think
there's confusing statements.
I think they have baptism wrong. I think they have the Lord's Supper wrong. I think they have the whole idea of priests versus laity wrong. I think they have the structure of their church is wrong. I think they got their eschatology is definitely wrong. Their view on eternal security is definitely wrong, except maybe you can say there were some Reformed guys got it right. But I don't think they got much of anything.
So
let's have a first reference.
First reference. Yeah, exactly. And it seems to me there's always been, in every generation, people who are proclaiming the truth. There have always been churches that stood for the truth. We don't always have writings that come down to us that say there were people in the 5th century that were clear on the free grace message, or the 8th century, or whatever. But the truth is, we know from Scripture that God always has a witness, and a clear witness in every generation. Yes, do we need a reformation? It seems in every generation we do. And what we're about here is we're calling people to God's Word, not to tradition. We're trying to get away from tradition and say, let's go to God's Word. Now, I realize people say, but you're starting your own tradition. In a sense, we are. But in another sense, we say, search the Scriptures. Don't assume it's true because Charles Ryrie says it, or Zane Hodges says it, or Earl Rodmacher says it. It's true because the Word of God says it.
And I like what you said near to the beginning of our discussion. Didn't you say every generation needs to be? I would say I have kids, and I realize every generation needs to be evangelized and discipled.
Right.
So I'm not thinking of a historical event like, oh, we need this historical break in culture. We need a second reformation. Every generation of kids needs, we're starting over.
Right.
They're not born Christian. They're not born with all these beliefs. You have to disciple every single generation. So think about the people in your household. Think about your kids, your grandkids. And you just need to evangelize them and then disciple them. That's kind of what we need.
That's where Reformation starts.
That's where it starts.
We don't take them to church and hope the church evangelizes them and disciple them. We do it at home.
Yeah.
And then we bring them to church to continue the process.
Yeah. Church can support you, but it can't replace you. Instead of thinking about Reformation, think about evangelism. Every generation needs evangelizing and discipling.
Amen.
And that's what we're here to do, just to make it clear that eternal life is free, that it's forever, and that there are rewards to have for living for Christ and serving Him faithfully.
Amen.
Well, thanks for your question, Mick, and thanks for that discussion, Bob. If you have any comments on what we've said, we'd love to hear from you. You can write us. You can go to our website, faithalone.org, and find our physical address, or you can email us at radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other free grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other free grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to ask whether unbelievers can actually prevent others from going to heaven. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.